still the 11th of September. This is side two of tape four. Maurice Shapiro. I'm Mary Harrison with the National Council of Jewish Women's Oral History, and we're continuing on interviewing Mr. Shapiro.
At that time, when he had been in Pittsburgh, he arrived in the late 40s, and was the director of the virology laboratory, I think it's called, at the University of Pittsburgh. In fact, his laboratory was in the same building where the Graduate School of Public Health was established to begin with. It was the old Municipal Hospital, which is now Salk Hall on the campus of the University of Pittsburgh. At that time, it was a building devoted. It was originally an infectious disease hospital, municipal hospital, and by the end of World War II, it became exclusively a polio hospital where the polio patients were housed.
And Dr. Salk developed the vaccine while he was at the University of Pittsburgh,
correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
When was the vaccine actually, his vaccine, when was that?
Tested in the 50s. In 54 or 55, I can get that information.
Okay. Do you have any recollections of Dr. Salk? Is there anything that you can tell us that you feel that would be interesting to be on this tape?
Remarkable individual, driven, extremely capable in organizing and gathering around him a group of very dedicated and capable scientists who worked day and night in developing the vaccine and then producing it and testing it. Sense of the books that have been written about it and his current position.
Which is what?
Which is, well, the founder of the Salk Institute in La Jolla, California, and now the founder and first president of that, and now I suppose would be a member of the Salk Institute. I was not involved in the things myself except knowing him socially and professionally, and knowing his colleagues, one of them being Dr. Julius Jungner, who's still on the faculty of the medical school in microbiology and biochemistry.
Here in Pittsburgh.
Right, at the University of Pittsburgh. He had tremendous capacity of being able to convey to those who at that time had the funding. He worked extremely closely and well with the March of Dimes people. And one has to remember that the fear that polio produced in the population was unmatched. I think it's.
We also had a president, President Roosevelt.
Right. Right. And
the disease.
That this kind of fear engendered a desire to undertake action to alleviate the problem and to find a solution.
Well, you mentioned that Dr. Salk was head of the virus
laboratory.
How long did it take to realize that it was a virus? Wasn't that the whole...
Oh, no. The virus that was known as a virus sometime
was it?
Before,
okay, right? I wasn't sure. Okay.
Dr. Enders at Harvard University was the one who developed the knowledge of that.
And, okay. And when was that?
That was in the 40s.
Okay. I guess my recollection is remembering that it finally was established that it was a virus.
Well,
they cleared us out of swimming pools, and I remember.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, in the water, it didn't last so long. It's interesting. It was a contact that occurred between people at swimming pools. It did more than in the water itself. The one problem is in terms of my knowledge now, is that even though it was a team effort to the world, it appeared it was an individual effort. And that, I suppose, bothers me.
That it wasn't, that it,
that,
that
he did not really acknowledge it as a team effort.
He was very egocentric, wasn't he?
Well, he still is. Now, at this time, even though we're friends, I mean, we don't correspond or anything like that, but you know, he recognized me and things of that nature, but now he's espousing a, you know, philosophical view of humanity. I don't know if you heard him give the lecture at the medical school a few years ago. It was an interesting thing. It was tens, if not hundreds, of slides with kind of educated dots, I would call them, and things, is trying to show a new philosophy of life. And
do you think maybe something new that he found?
Well, that he's expounding.
Do you have any idea, or if you're his friend or in the professional community, what his reaction was to the Sabin vaccine?
Oh, they were fought. He fought with Sabin, and
could you please tell us about Sabin just a little bit?
Well, you see,
and the
primary
vaccine.
Reason for it is that Dr. Salk believed, and at that time, that it would be impossible to have a live vaccine. He was, what he had developed was a killed vaccine, which nevertheless was supposed to give an immunity level that was sufficient. By the way, our whole family was a member of his first family study.
Interesting.
All our kids were immunized by him at the D.T. Watson home where he held his community clinics.
Is that in North Hills?
No, that's near Sewickley. It's in
okay.
The hills up there, the mountains. Beautiful place. It's the D.T. Watson for rehabilitation home for children. It's interesting. He tested all of us, and my wife Ann had a very high level of antibodies, but the rest of us didn't. You know, it's an interesting. As you may know, one of the reasons why polio became a problem was because fewer people were exposed to it, but when they were exposed to it, then therefore they had no immunity, and therefore they succumbed to the disease. Now, Dr. Sabin was developing an attenuated live vaccine. In other words, it's a polio vaccine which was treated in such a manner that its capacity for causing frank illness was reduced to a safe level, where its ability to produce antibodies and therefore immunity was high. And I think that's the only vaccine that's used now. The dead vaccine is not used anymore. The other person with whom he competed was a member of our faculty in the Graduate School of Public Health, and that was Dr. William McDowell Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N, who was an epidemiologist virologist, and who was experimenting at that time, and his with the notion that if you vaccinated people with gamma globulin, which is a fraction of the blood, that would give them immunity. Well, it is true that it does give them immunity, but the immunity is lasts only for a short period of time, like 6 weeks or a little longer than that. And that's...
So Dr. Salk then won out in that...
No, he won out in terms of time.
Okay.
That Sabin did not have the attenuated vaccine completely tested before that famous Dr. Francis report at Michigan. Were you at Michigan at the time?
What was his name?
Tommy Francis. He was an epidemiologist who ran the the salt field test to show that it was efficacious and safe. The other very interesting person, and she's sort of been lost in the shuffle, is Jonas Salk's former wife, Donna, is a remarkable person.
Did she do some of his...
No, she was a social worker. She's still living in La Jolla, but as you know, they're divorced and separated.
Did you have any hobbies?
Well, very few.
Any?
I used to play music, but I don't anymore.
What kind of music did you play?
I used to play a flute many years ago. I'm not capable of doing anything. Reading.
And what kind of reading
did
you enjoy?
When we were eclectic.
Okay.
And when we, and playing tennis, but that's all. When we were in the country, we didn't raise fruits and vegetables. There were fruits on the place, but we had sheep. And
you enjoyed gardening.
Enjoyed that, yeah.
How about family vacations? Were there any particular, like, consistent places that you went to as a family?
Not consistent, no. We did it taking advantage of things as they came along. For example, in 1960, we took 7 weeks and drove around the country. And the kids all still remember it very well.
Did you go in a wagon? Or?
We had a station wagon, which we won in a raffle.
What kind of a raffle?
It was a fireman raffle.
Okay.
The way you supported your volunteer firemen.
My husband was one, so that's very good.
And that was... good. That was a time that I went to Hanford. I had activity there. That was also a time that we went to La Jolla because Dr. Salk asked me to look at the site on which the Salk Institute was to be built. I had given my opinion of it. It's fantastic. I don't know if you've been there.
No.
It overlooks, overlooks the ocean. It's an unbelievable site. And it was both, a tremendous vacation for the kids, and both learning and meeting relatives on the West Coast, and really made the loop around the North to the South. They all remember Glacier, for example, very well. The others that we did was when we went to Israel in 1965. It was on board ship. They remember that very well. They remember these Israel sojourn very well. And then when we went to Australia, only three of our kids were there. Our son David, late son David, spent a year with us there, and our son Joel spent a year with us there, and Lisa was there, and Mark came to visit from his job. So four out of the six were there, and they, as I said before, took advantage of learning about Australia very much. We did not have a summer home. That was one of the reasons for moving to the North Hills when we moved from California, and it worked us in good stead in terms of having a really a place where you could enjoy summer.
Tell me, did you run into any anti-Semitism when you lived out in the North Hills?
Not to my memory. Anne probably may know better. First of all, Shapiro, even though it's a ubiquitous name in the Jewish community, has a tendency by non-Jews who don't know Jews to be thought of as Italian because of the O ending. And so quite a number of times that occurred. I really don't remember specific. I was in the 50s living in that community with my background. I knew that things were wrong with the way sewage was being disposed of, septic things were not working. And I organized a study which was done by the then health department, state health department, and to make a long story short, out of that evolved the Candace Township Sanitary Authority.
Oh.
And it's interesting, it was that time that I met Dr. Kurtzman. Did you know Dr. Kurtzman? Dr. Kurtzman, who was Chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
At that time, Dr. Kurtzman was the man in charge of the Economy League for Western Pennsylvania. The Economy League was an organization developed and sustained by the powers that be, by private funds, in order to provide assistance to communities so that they could do their work, their running their communities more efficiently so the taxes would be lower. And he was an economist who did that. So he assisted us at that time in the rudiments of developing. I didn't know anything about how you developed a sanitary authority, which is a legal entity, you know, like Alcosan, like Allegheny County Sanitary Authority. And that still exists. Well, it wasn't anti-Semitism. I don't think so. But anyway, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that I would be re-elected chairman of the thing, but there were people with other agendas on.
But you feel that was just sort of a...
I don't think that was anti-Semitism. I think that was just plain politics.
Politics, okay.
And really,
So you were involved politically in the community.
This was professional.
Well, sure, you gave your professional expertise on a volunteer level.
In fact, a few years ago, I got a plaque from them saying thank you, said people are forgotten, you know, things like that.
In this community that you were in North Hills, economically, what was sort of
it's a mix because that area, Ingomar, for example, was one of the stops on the Harmony Short Line, which was the railroad that developed, from Pittsburgh to Harmony, PA.
That was the Pennsylvania Railroad.
No.
Was that the Harmony Line?
Harmony Short Line.
Okay.
And remember Westview Park?
Yes, that was an amusement park. Yes,
that's right. That was also at the end of a trolley line from Pittsburgh. Yeah. But Ingomar was one of the stops at the stop.
And that was a working community.
Right.
Blue collar?
Mixed. Mm-hmm. Mixed. Blue collar and old families. Some land that had been given to veterans of the Civil War.
Oh, my. I didn't know that. What a history.
Yeah. And it's a very interesting history there. And then gas and oil was found in that area too. So one time there was a gas, an oil well right in the middle of Ingomar Road.
Okay.
And it's cold there. There's the in North Park.
Now, you're not associated with any synagogue or Jewish community.
No.
Okay. Well, you were, during the Depression, you were in Israel. Prohibition, do you remember Prohibition?
No, I do not remember. Well, I returned, that's why I was hesitating way before in the early part of this, of the interview today, about 29. I'll have to check the dates because
okay.
It may have been that in November 28 I came here and spent a year at my uncle's, my aunt, was an aunt who was a sister and two uncles who were brothers of my mother's who had come here from Germany in the late 20s, and started a dairy farm called Johanna Farm.
Mm-hmm.
In Flemington, New Jersey, and my parents sent me for a year to spend with them, and I spent a year with them.
So maybe we'll get back. Prohibition, you don't have any recollection?
So, I mean, I remember that, the reason I said that is I remember Prohibition because they had, it was interesting, I think my uncle was involved in trying to develop a new milk pasteurization method, which was to do with radiation. And they brought a German physicist over.
Now this is in the 20s, I gather.
In the 20s. A German physicist over and established a laboratory on the farm. I think it was a huge X-ray machine, if I remember, something of some kind. As a boy, I don't remember. But I remember it as that kind of a thing. And I remember that my aunt would have to go, and I would have to go into this inn to buy him beer.
You couldn't do that anymore. No. You have to be 21. Do you remember, okay, the World War I, World War II we've covered. Korean War, do you have any recollection? Or
yes,
any?
I have recollection of the Korean War because it started while we were still in Berkeley in California, and it was before I had any idea of coming here, and I was at that time working for the American Public Health Association, and I received a call asking me as to, you know, whether I'd be willing to go to Korea.
Were you in any reserve? You weren't. Were
I
you?
Was. I was in the U.S. Public Health Service reserve.
So that was
I had not. I had to resign from the reserve in order to get my accumulated pension, so I could pay for my. From my education.
Okay. And the Vietnam War? Is there any? Did you participate in the Korean War?
No.
Okay.
No,
how about the Vietnamese War?
No relation to, no personal relation to it whatsoever.
How about the civil rights movement? Were you involved with that at all?
Well, to the extent that, for example, the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Which was in what year? 64 or 5? It was after Kennedy, I know that.
Yeah. And we came in, it was must be before 64, because we came in from the North Hills and marched from the Civic Arena downtown while fighting was already
on the hill.
On the hill, right in back of us.
No, no. No, Kennedy was assassinated in 63,
and after 65.
Bob Kennedy was still alive because he went to his funeral, and Bob Kennedy was killed during the political of when?
From the Civic Arena downtown. We marched from,
it was, you.
It was a march, you know, in solidarity.
Well, I know.
What's the name of that street? Washington, I think. It was. It's right. It goes right past that black church with the black Christ on it. You can see it.